Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Yeah, let's do the thing. It's headline time. President Trump is asking that the names of the Cleveland Guardians and the Washington Commanders be switched back to their original names, the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins, respectively. If you think this is a good or bad idea, I want to hear from you today. So get on the phones, 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-9842. I'm going to consider it our question of the day. Do you think that we should turn it back? And I think, overwhelmingly, people are saying, yeah, man, that woke era is over. You know, I think we still have, was it Florida State University? Still has the Sentinels, right? We still have, what is it? Seminoles. I was saying Sentinels. Seminoles, right. The Seminoles. We also have, we have the Atlanta Braves, you know? So there are plenty of teams, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, for crying out loud. There are plenty of names that still have, you know, Native American names in them. And from the Native Americans that I've been talking to, or talking about, even on this program, many of them feel as though the removal of these names almost erased their history or even their presence. So we'll see what happens. Donald Trump is calling for both of those teams to change the names back. Immigrants are now scrambling to find health care coverage after the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill. This removed illegals from the rolls, a prominent program that Democrats have said was false in its reporting that illegals were on them. Here's Hakeem Jeffries saying exactly that just a couple of days ago.
And on the current law, undocumented immigrants are already ineligible for Medicaid, the ACA exchanges, and for SNAP benefits. Not a single undocumented immigrant in this country gets a dime in federal taxpayer dollars for any part of comprehensive Medicaid coverage. Not one,
he said. But obviously, Hakeem Jeffries has not been reading the news or been talking to representatives in several states. In fact, six states and D.C., where, of course, he works all the time. This, according to an Associated Press article, for 20 years, Maria would call her sister, a nurse in Mexico, for advice on how to manage her asthma and to control her husband's diabetes instead of going to the doctor in California. She said she didn't have legal status, so she couldn't get health insurance and skip routine exams, relying instead on home remedies and at times getting inhalers from Mexico. She insisted on using the only her first name for fear of deportation for this report. Things changed for Maria and many others in recent years when a handful of Democrat-led states opened up their health insurance programs to low-income immigrants, regardless of their legal status. Maria and her husband signed up the day the program began last year. According to this, plenty of states, according to this report, including seven states, including the District of Columbia, have offered coverage for immigrants since mostly 2020. But three of them have done an about-face, ending or limiting coverage for hundreds of thousands of immigrants who aren't in the U.S. legally. And those include California, Illinois, and Minnesota. So this nonsense that Hakeem Jeffries is out here talking about, not one. I mean, listen to his words, folks. Listen to his own words. We didn't doctor them. This is him.
And on the current law, undocumented immigrants are already ineligible for Medicaid, the ACA exchanges, and for SNAP benefits. Not a single undocumented immigrant in this country.
In the country! Someone's lying to you, and that someone is Hakeem Jeffries. Okay? This is the reason why I am not bipartisan, Donald. This is why. Because the Democrat leader, Hakeem Jeffries, just lied to the American people. Not one single person in the country, he says. Six states, including the one he works in, Washington, D.C. Okay? That's why. That's all. So just come back and say, you know what? Yes, he did lie. Just have the guts. Just have the guts to say it. But I know you don't. It's okay. I don't expect you to. It's okay. It's quite all right. Hunter Biden is on the loose again. Oh, folks, Hunter Biden, he is the gift that keeps on giving. He is so upset about his father's ousting, he is taking it out on everybody. I mean, everyone. You want to hear a couple of snippets? You want to hear a couple? Fine. I'll be happy to. Hunter Biden, what does he think about immigrants in this country? Why is he railing against Donald Trump and supporting immigrants in this country? Well, you think that Hunter Biden would have a different take on all of this, but no. He, like the rest of the Democrats, are showing his crackhead ways.
Like all these Democrats say, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. F*** you. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you got food on your f***ing table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your f***ing garden? Who do you think is here by the f***ing sheer f***ing just grit and will that they figured out a way to get here because they thought that they could give themselves and their family a better chance? And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are f***ing criminals?
No. So Hunter Biden, like Jasmine Crockett, as well as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, oh, hell, the Democrats believe that those immigrants are here to do this slave labor. That's right. And what does he think about George Clooney, the man who pretty much ended Joe Biden's presidency with an op-ed in the New York Times? Well, Hunter's not too fond of him either.
F*** him. F*** him. F*** him and everybody around him. I don't have to be f***ing nice. Number one, I agree with Quentin Tarantino. F***ing George Clooney is not a f***ing actor. He is a f***ing, I don't know what he is. He's a brand. And by the way, and God bless him. You know what? He supposedly treats his friends really well. You know what I mean? Buys them things. And he's got a really great place in Lake Como. And he's great friends with Barack Obama. F*** you. What do you have to do with f***ing anything? Why do I have to f***ing listen to you? What right do you have to step on a man who's given 52 years of his f***ing life to the service of this country and decide that you, George Clooney, are going to take out basically a full-page ad in the f***ing New York Times?
I'm starting to believe I understand what Hunter Biden's favorite word is. He didn't stop there. He's not happy with Democrat pundits. This includes, of course, people like David Axelrod, James Carville, and the Obama brothers. And then he also went after Anita Dunn.
Me and James Carville, who hasn't run a race in 40 f***ing years, and David Axelrod, who had one success in his political life, and that was Barack Obama. And that was because of Barack Obama, not because of f***ing David Axelrod. And David Plouffe, and all of these guys, and the Pod Save America guys, who were junior f***ing speech writers in, on Barack Obama's Senate staff, who've been dining out on the relationship with him for years, making millions of dollars. The Anita Dunns of the world, who's made 40, 50 million dollars off the Democratic Party, they're all going to insert their judgment over a man who has figured out, unlike anybody else, how to get elected to the United States Senate over 7 times, how to pass more legislation than any president in history, how to have a better midterm election than anybody in history, and how to garner more votes than any president that has ever run, and they're going to replace their judgment for his.
Yeah, he didn't stop there. And, of course, the man who single-handedly took a, I don't know, I want to say probably a sledgehammer to Joe Biden, Jill Biden, and, of course, Hunter Biden, Jake Tapper. Hunter had some choice words for him as well.
Who's Jake Tapper's audience? Jake Tapper?
My mom or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. For real, though. I don't even think it's your mom anymore.
No.
By the numbers, what influence does Jake Tapper have over anything? He has the smallest audience on cable news. And beyond that, I think that the book is right now on Amazon that he put out. I mean, his ratings just went to sh- after he put the book out. And, you know, they did a 2-week infomercial for it. I mean, it was such a money grab, such a disservice to everybody that he serves with.
I don't know about you, but I think I like this Hunter Biden. Keep talking, brother. Keep talking. In fact, I want Hunter Biden going after everybody on the Democrat side. Just everybody. Anyone who has disrespected your father, you go out there like a kung fu flick and avenge him. You killed my father. I want you to go out there and get your vengeance. That's all I'm saying. And last but not least, the WNBA is making demands for more pay. Now that, of course, Caitlin Clark has given the game more notoriety. And, former Russian hostage, and basketball player, Brittany Griner, says that, quote, they have been milking our talents for decades now. Skim milk. It's time to pay up. Players have openly hinted that they're prepared to sit out the 25-26 season if a fair deal isn't struck in collective bargaining agreements. That meeting's going to come up soon. So I want to... What's that? What'd you say, Roland? They're taking it too far? Yes. Roland, you are 100% right that they are taking it too far. And let's break down how far they're taking it. The WNBA has consistently operated at a financial loss since its inception in 1997, with losses varying from year to year based on available reports. Here are the key figures from credible sources. The historical losses. In 2018, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver stated that the WNBA lost an average of about $10 million annually, accumulating at least $280 million in losses since the league's founding. In 2007, individual teams were estimated to lose $1.5 million to $2 million per year, with the league, the total league losses projected at around $400 million through 2010. Recent losses? In 2024, despite a surge in popularity driven by players like Caitlin Clark, the WNBA has reported to lose approximately $40 million to $50 million for the season. They're just above Stephen Colbert. A June 2024 report from the Washington Post estimated a $50 million loss, while an October 2024 New York Post article adjusted this to $40 million, noting it was an improvement over the earlier forecast. The increased losses were partly attributed to investments like a $25 million charter flight program. The WNBA financial data is not publicly disclosed, unlike the NBA, making precise figures hard to verify. Experts like Nola Aga, a sports management professor, note that reported losses may be influenced by accounting practices and tax strategies, where leagues declare losses despite positive cash flow or increasing asset values to justify subsidies or negotiate contracts. It has led to skepticism about the accuracy of loss figures, with some arguing the league's financial health may be better than reported due to revenue growth from $60 million in 2019 to $200 million in 2023. So they're saying that they may be hiding this, but we do know that the NBA is subsidizing the sport. That much we do know, that it hasn't been making any real money. And those are your headlines. Let's get to the phones. 860-522-WTIC. Steve is in Hanover. Hello, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up, buddy?
So going back to your the little piece you talked about with the Larry Elder and
saying that I care so much about Donald Trump. Does he care about you?
So, and forgive me, these aren't my thoughts. This is somebody else's, but I think they make sense. There's a guy on, I believe it's Instagram, might be Reels. I don't know on Facebook, but
okay.
I've seen who black guy who makes this really profound little 2-minute speech about comparing white liberals to white conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, yes, I did see that.
And he talks about how white liberals like to, sort of pound their chests about how they fight for the black community,
right,
whereas white conservatives will stand side by side and fight with the black community and the black conservatives.
Yes. In fact, I can even paraphrase what you're talking about. In this video, what he says is that when he talks to white liberals, it's always this proclamation about how they are doing everything that they can, patting themselves on the back. They do this. They stand for this. They stand for those people. They stand for everyone else. But then he was talking to some white conservatives, and he would tell them about himself, and they would cheerlead him in a sense was, oh man, that's great, man. Tell me more about your business. There wasn't this sort of talking to him like, how did you possibly get that done? How could you have become that successful? Isn't it difficult for you as a black man? No, they just celebrate. It's like, oh man, good for you. And they keep pushing.
Well, and that's where I was going to draw the comparison to a local thing, which is Ken Barone.
Yes.
And with the nonsense that Ken Barone always comes out trying to change, you know, the ways that police officers do policing and change statutes in Connecticut, you know, we don't want to stop, you know, anybody for taillights out because inner city people might not be able to afford it, which that goes right back to, I believe it was William F. Buckley who said the subtle racism of
the soft bigotry of low expectations.
And it all comes back to that, where that's all that plainly is, where you can make it no matter what you've got to do in one sense, and yet, no. We have to help you because you're incapable of doing it.
That's right.
But we're going to make you a poster child for our cause.
Exactly.
And the whole thing is just reprehensible at its absolute base because you're taking away the very essence of how you're going to give somebody the opportunity. You know what I mean? And now we get back to the equity versus equality argument. It all comes back to all that stuff. It's just one big swirling circle of liberal speak and liberal attitude that really is a recipe for disaster.
Indeed. You're 100% right, sir. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I remember, again, I can't remember the exact date, but I know the reference. So the year is, I want to say 96, 97. If you're in a chat room and you remember this year, let me give you the point of reference. It was when South Park had sent out that Christmas video before the beginning of South Park, the Christmas video about Jesus Christ versus Santa Claus. You remember that, the famous video that started South Park? It was the year that that came out, and everybody was sharing it. Like, everybody had a VHS or a DVD a video of that. So it's like 1990-something. So it was that year, and it was Christmas that year. And we're sitting around the house, and it's me and my girlfriend, Laura, who lived from Danbury. We were at a friend's house in Manhattan, and I was the only black person there. And we were talking about everything from politics to pop culture, things going on, blah, 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 blah. We had just watched the South Park video. We were all having a laugh. And it was just regular, you know, kind of a party atmosphere. People sitting around talking, having a conversation, but very intimate. So everyone was talking at the sort of same time. And I remember this woman from Texas. She had thickest accent in the world. And she kind of looked like Paula Deen. She had her hair up in a ponytail. And she was sitting on the couch and she looked at me. And she said, "My word, where are you from?" And I said, "I was born and raised in Hollis, Queens." "You are just so eloquent." "I mean, you speak so well." Now, me, because I've always been who I've been, I've always been that guy. I started howling laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. But her daughter got an opportunity. First opportunity she could, pulled into the kitchen and said, "You can't say that. Well, you can't just say that." So, of course, everybody who was there who knew me knew that I would get, like, the biggest laugh out of that. But there were some people there who kind of thought that that was racist and bigoted. Was it? I don't know if it was bigoted. I don't know if it was racist. Maybe bigoted. Maybe at best. I chalk it up as just ignorant. Because obviously where she's from, her experiences with black people may be limited. So when I spoke, for hear her say that, I thought it was funny. That stuff to me is hilarious. I never get offended by it. But that's what this is. Is the constant finding one black kid who's made it and then patting him on the back just going, "Oh, I need to share your story with our country club because you are an anomaly, young man." Which is in essence is saying most black people aren't successful. So when I hear that, I'm just going, yeah, it's so typical. And again, I talk to everybody who I've ever had a conversation with, no matter where I go. I've never been patted on my back and saying, "Oh, good job there, buddy. Nice for you." No, they meet me and they be like, "I don't think this guy would ever stand for somebody pointing out the fact that he's this, that." It's clownish. So when I'd see this stuff, I'm like, I can't believe that you and Jesse Lee Peterson would say this, that, and the third. Because we're not supposed to. And even that's bigotry. Coming from a black guy to another black guy. Sad, but it's true. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More news, more views, and I'm still teaching this lesson? When we return, it's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. 100 candles on the cake? How are you going to blow those out? Imagine what kind of a mess you're going to make out of frosting.
Speaking of mess, we've got some sad news. If you heard it at the top of the hour, maybe in the beginning of the opening monologue, Malcolm Jamal Warner has died at age 54 in a drowning incident in Costa Rica. During our movie news and Hollywood entertainment news at 5 o'clock, I want to share a story about Malcolm Jamal Warner that I've never shared. Even though some people were present at that, it's not like it's a private thing, but I want to share some information about Malcolm Jamal Warner. I have a saying here at Reese on the Radio about, you know, famous people. I'm not a name dropper in the sense of, you know, talking about, I know this guy, I know that guy. I don't do all of that. It's not that I'm private with their involvement. And I have this saying that says, you know, you don't talk about anybody that you know about them unless you're saying something nice about them in a eulogy type way, which I want to do because I have a very glowing, I had a glowing and great experience with Malcolm Jamal Warner that I want to share. We never met face to face, but we were on a podcast together for a long time. In fact, for several hours. And I want to talk about that experience in a 5 o'clock hour and talk about how I inspired something, that Malcolm Jamal Warner did that many people do not know. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So stick around in the 5 o'clock hour, when I talk about that. Let's get to the phones. But before we do, I just want to let you know, we got the stupidest thing, that I've read today coming up about saving AM radio and punishing public radio. You don't want to miss that, as well. The DeQuat story. The news has finally caught on to the story after yours truly have been talking about DeQuat and Hydrilla for pretty much 2 weeks now. Now, all of a sudden, the news media is engaged. And how does it choose to get engaged? Oh, by trying to thwart mis- and disinformation. But I've noticed in all the reports that there's anything and everything said about Webby, but nothing about me and nothing about the people we've had on this show. No talk about eco-harvesters, no talk about carp, no talk about Candlewood Lake. I find all of that strange. So, we'll get into that, and of course, the latest story by the Connecticut Mirror. You don't want to miss that either. All right? Now, let's get back to the phones. 860-522-WTIC. Paisan, what's going on, sir?
You know, Reese, when it comes to sporting activity, nobody's better in the NBA than black men. In the NFL, nobody's better than black men.
Now, hold on. Now, I'll make some arguments for you.
Well, there,
what about Larry Bird? What about Larry Bird?
All right, he's the exception. But there's one thing that black men historically do not do well.
What's that?
And that's swimming. What is he doing in the water?
Oh, come on!
They're not good swimmers.
I'll tell you this, and I have to, it's so sad that I learned this. So when I took up swimming in high school, at Jamaica High School, I wanted to swim because I remember the first time I'd ever tried it, I was afraid of swimming. Like I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't have anybody to teach me. And I got this teacher who was going to teach me swimming 101. And all I wanted to do was to do that. And then as I got older, going to the pool, I noticed all of my friends would not go in. They just stick their feet in and they would just wade around in 3 feet of water. And then I would go, and I was like, do you guys swim? And they were like, no. And I'll never forget it. Somebody said, black people don't swim. And I went, that's not true. And I was so naive about that. I was just like, that's not true. And they were like, no, black people don't. And as I got older, and it became this stereotype that people just started confirming. And
well, there was an old saying, black people don't swim, they float.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was a big floater because she never swam. But it's true.
Where are you going to go swimming in the homeland in Africa? Where? You're gonna go in the water over there? I don't think so.
On the Ivory Coast. No, it's true.
I don't think you're gonna jump in that
one.
Now, Italy's got the Mediterranean. That's a different story.
But you're 100%.
It's just sad though. I don't know. Maybe he was in that water a lot. But people don't understand. You could get swept under in a hurry. And if you're not a great swimmer, nobody should be in the water.
That's also
now,
true.
Now, me, I don't have a problem with that. Because
but I don't... Hold on for a second. Now, the one thing that I do know is that most people are novice swimmers. They may know how to swim and they may be good swimmers, but they're very novice about ocean water swimming. And that is they don't understand the undertow. They don't understand any of that or what to do in the event of that emergency. We used to get public service announcements often during the summer months that used to tell us how to respond if you feel as though you're being pulled into the water or underneath it. They don't do that anymore.
But you watch how many people are going to drown in Connecticut. They're all going to have two things in common. One, they're going to be white, and second, they're going to be under 200 pounds. Because the bigger you are, the easier it is to swim. I prove that.
Really?
I'm like a big elephant in the water. around. I mean, I'm not. All I got to do is, you ever see the elephants swim in the water? How come they don't drown at 10, 12, 14,000 pounds? They don't go straight to the bottom because the water holds them up.
Yeah, good
these
point.
These little kids are going in these lakes and rivers and swimming pools, and they're drowning. It's a shame.
It
they
is.
Shouldn't
and
be in the water.
And
if you
it's
don't know
very.
How to swim.
It's very. Well, you know what? You can't really stop a kid from wanting to swim because every kid wants to participate in that.
Well, they should keep an eye on them then.
They should. You're right. 100% right. Thank you, Frank. Let me go to James in Windsor. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on your new slot.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, okay, you wanted to hear about Trump, right? Okay, I know why they're focusing on Trump.
Why?
He took a picture with Epstein.
Yeah, but, I mean, hello, in the 2016 campaign, they could have used that then. I mean, didn't they have 27 women come forward and make allegations against Donald Trump for sexual assault or impropriety? I mean, everything under the sun was thrown at him. Epstein was never one of them.
One of them couldn't remember what year or when.
Right.
But they do remember that, you know, like, it's almost like Bill Cosby. Don't, you know, I don't want to match that. But the women who he had problems with, I think because he stopped cutting checks, that's when they opened up their mouth.
How do I put it? I'll put it this way. So the New York Times, I'm sorry, has an article today, right? Talking about how, Donald Trump may appear in one of the files, right? So I just read the story during the commercial break. Here's the thing. This woman's allegation in the article, and her name is Maria Farmer, right?
Yeah.
They write the story from her point of view. And I'll admit, this story looks to be about 1,700 words. She makes, in the whole article, about four paragraphs. End of four paragraphs. Do you want to talk about her exchange with Donald Trump that she says the FBI should have looked into? Here's what she says. She showed up at Epstein's office in Manhattan, in his swanky office, and Donald Trump looked at her legs.
Okay.
That's the allegation. So again.
But where's the crime?
No. And the New York Times goes through, again, 1,700 words, barely touching on the focus of the headline, which, again, I will go back to the headline. An accuser's story suggests how Trump might appear in Epstein's file, saying that she had one encounter with Donald Trump that they should have looked into. And the encounter, when you read it, he looked at her legs when she walked into Epstein's office.
Well, thank God he didn't look at her butt.
Well, again, this is, again, what I'm trying to understand. They're going through an exhaustive amount of ink to implicate him in this because they know that they're losing ground. When you're at 19% approval as Democrats, you'll pull out all the stops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even the lies. My mother used to say that if you tell a lie long enough, people don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, but that's the point. But, again, I know that there are certain people who are saying, what about the Epstein files? If they looked at this article in the New York Times and they saw how long it was, no one would read it. They would go, wow, I'm not going to read all of this. They don't even get to the subject matter until a paragraph 7. So it's a joke.
Exactly.
I got to let you go, buddy. The noise in the background is killing me. I'm sorry. Let's go to Tom. How are you, Tom?
Hey, I'm well. Hey, I'll paraphrase Joe Biden, Reese.
Yes.
You are a very smart, clean, articulate black man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you know what? You know, I will say this, that you can't go into a 7-Eleven without finding one of them in there.
Of course, of course. Hey, I got to make a statement. I'd like your take on it.
Yes.
I feel, yeah, Epstein, Stiles, yeah, we should get that information. Mm-hmm. But that's small potatoes. The Russian hoax, Shifty Schiff getting treatment on his home loans, yep. Lachisa James doing the same. Right. If we don't do stuff on that, I think Trump is going to lose a lot of people. He's going to lose me. Thank God, and who knows for sure if it's going to happen. But, I mean, the border's fantastic. And supposedly we got rid of NPR and PBS. But let's definitely make sure the money's not out of there. But if we don't go after some of those people that outright lied and, you know, the collusion tape, the 50 guys saying it was nothing, if we don't right. do some type of make a criminal investigation
referral?
And really do, yeah, if we really don't get referrals, who knows what will happen in a court. But some of these people should at least be brought to trial.
Let me take a minute and ask you a question, and I'll get your response. But you got to give it to me real quick. I'm going to try to lay it out as fast as I possibly can.
Okay.
What would you say to the idea, and I'm on good authority on this one, so I want to throw it out to you. Just want to hear what you think on this. What do you say if I keep Democrats at bay? Right now they're sitting at a paltry 19% approval, right? We secure the midterm elections. We don't lose any, we don't lose the House. We don't lose the Senate, right? We keep it even if it's by a razor thin margin. We continue to pummel the Democrats with every one of their policies and them taking 820 of an 80-20 issue. And then we wait until after we secure the midterms with Republican rule in both the House and the Senate. And then immediately after that election, we start dropping indictments on people like Adam Schiff, Letitia James. In essence, secure, because I'm thinking on this level, if we shoot too early, they get momentum back because of those prosecutions and we lose the House and the Senate. What about waiting? And we just keep laying out the framework for these things and then win the midterms and then prosecute. Would you be good with that?
Yeah, in theory, that would be fantastic. But I'm just afraid we're going to lose people between now and then that say, oh, this is just deep state. Republicans do it. Forget all of it. That's what I'm worried about.
Right. I don't want anything to run out the clock, especially on a guy like Adam Schiff. Retribution must be had on that guy because of all the damage he did in 2017. But I'm just saying that what I would do as far as criminal referrals are concerned, I've got to worry about how the polling data works on that or how the momentum shifts, because that always happens. You can get people feeling sympathetic for Democrats and Donald Trump going after his political enemies, but if you do it strategically, you lose none of that political capital, and you still annihilate them politically in the midterms. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, maybe if we go too hard now, the people on the fence might say, oh, they're just going after them.
Exactly.
And we might lose, you know what? You are smart, Reese. You are.
God, Rudy in Florida is up next. Stick around. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the radio. Ask your doctor if common sense is right for you. Right for you. On News Talk 1080, WTIC.
I'm listening to everybody. All these people are sending me texts and instant messages and all this stuff. You guys are funny. Someone just sent me the Family Guy clip from about the WNBA. I still love that clip. Rama and I always go back on that one. Donald in the chat room. I maybe you don't know this, but I do. So it's best that I just let you know. He says that this program is tailor-made for Republicans. No wonder Democrats rarely participate. That's more out of fear. Sir, believe it or not, that is more out of fear or apprehension. You know, there's a word of the day. It's apprehension, not fear. It's a fancy word for fear. And they do. They do participate. You just don't know that they do. And I appreciate it. So, you know, maybe get some of your friends. They'd love to listen. Let's go to Rudy in Florida. How we doing, sir?
What's up, my man, Carlton?
It's not unusual for me to be called that.
Was that Ben Carson producing the show tonight, or is it Matt?
Yeah, right. What's going on with you?
Well, first, I want to get to the WNBA, but Frank brought up a good point.
What's that?
Well, my grandfather's Sicilian, and he, you know, he had some side pieces that were
African-American?
Yeah. We tried on our yacht when I was a child to go up the East River and find a yacht club to dock at to drop them off, but there was nothing on the East River.
There is no docks on the East River anywhere.
We figured there'd be a yacht club in the Bronx or East Harlem.
There are none. Like, there are absolutely none.
So, and I'm assuming the reason those people up in those neighborhoods don't own yachts is because they can't swim.
That, you know what? Boating is an interesting thing because that was one of the things I saw growing up in Far Rockaway as well, is that everybody was off the pier fishing. No one was in a boat. They wouldn't even go on boats. I would go on these sort of like group cruises, like group fishing cruises in Brooklyn. And sure enough, I would be one, maybe two other black folks would be on there. Very rare. In fact, when I hear about people going out on there, it's always, I mean, there's a lot of Hispanic guys, Puerto Rican or Dominican. That's a big thing to them. But the black community just didn't do it out on boats. And I've gone plenty of times in my childhood.
So it might be a correlation to swimming. And the other guy stole my Biden thunder when he said,
clean and articulate.
You got the first mainstream African-American articulate, bright and clean, nice-looking guy. I'm like, so, I mean, I'm hoping our Democrat friend will call up because this show's showing a lot of microaggressions.
Yes.
And they need to be addressed.
Indeed.
And I'm the wrong person to address microaggressions because it's my middle name. But
I can only deal with you for 30 more seconds. So what is your NBA quip real quick, WNBA quip?
Oh, they need to shut the league down. It's a joke. Did you see the highlights? Angela Reese almost broke the backboard from the four-point circle. Then she missed, like, three layups and three putbacks. And it's like, this league's a joke. They think she's one of the best players. She shoots 35% from the field, gets 12 of her own misses as rebounds, and she's a rebounding queen. It's like the talent level is terrible. And I don't think they could beat Simeon High School freshman team in Chicago. So
yeah,
lose money every day.
Yeah, no, I was just reporting on that. Thank you. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
If WTIC lost money for 29 straight years, they'd be off the air.
You're right. You're 100% right about that. Thank you, sir. I got to go. Let me get our first check of weather and traffic with Jason Caterina and Mark Christopher is back, right? The BPS Traffic Center. Mark, you back? There he is.
No place to dock this thing.
That's right.
Darn.
Hey, good afternoon. Story about him, too. How are you?